Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 2 Kings chapter 19, 2 Kings chapter 19. And tonight I'm just going to share with you some thoughts from my own personal study recently in this passage of Scripture. One of the most telling passages of Scripture, because it reminds us that we are all human. There are no superhuman Christians in the Bible. The only one that is superhuman is Jesus Christ. Everybody else is human. And I was reading, going through the life of Hezekiah in this passage of Scripture and comparing it to the parallel passages that we find in 2 Chronicles, and looking at this man who was the leader, who in chapter 18 and verse 1 says that he took the position of king of Israel, Judah specifically. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And it's pretty exciting to be 25 and become the king of Judah. But immediately he finds out that this is not a cush job. All right, this isn't all about, you know, pride and passion. There's real things that have to take place in a king's life. And the first thing that he finds out is his father, Ahaz, had made a pact with Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, to pay him taxes. And the hope was that in paying these taxes, that Sennacherib would stay away. But guess what happens whenever Hezekiah becomes king, and in the years that follow, some 14 years into this, Sennacherib comes with all of his army up against Jerusalem. And we find that out in verse 13. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And what did Hezekiah do? In this shock and awe moment, Hezekiah, verse 15, gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the king and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. And so out of fear, he gives us gold and silver from the house of God to the king, thinking this will make him go away. But Assyria was not done. This did not appease Sennacherib in the least. And throughout the remaining part, we find Rabshakeh, who is the representative of Sennacherib, who was one of the captains of the host. He says in verse 19, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is there wherein thou trustest? Now think about what he's saying here, this question. All right? What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? You say you trust in God. What's your confidence? You've given me the things that belong to your God. Now think about that for just a moment. You've given to me the things that belong to your God. Those things were consecrated to Him. You gave them to me. So where is your confidence? Obviously, it is shaken. So Hezekiah is faced with his moment of weakness, his lack of faith. And he goes on, thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? I'm the greater, the king of Assyria is saying through his representative Rabshakeh. And I'm the greater. Who are you trusting in now that you've shown your weakness in trusting and giving away that which belongs to your God? So, pay tribute or be destroyed. You owe me more. And so we find that Assyria goes on, and then Assyria goes even beyond this telling, Rabshakeh was talking to the people there, the representatives of Hezekiah, and they asked him, said, listen, Rabshakeh, speak to us in your language. We understand your language. Don't speak in the Jewish language. We don't want the people to hear what we're talking about. And Rabshakeh said, uh-uh. And he starts talking louder in the Jewish language and begins to berate the king and eventually berates and insults Jehovah God. And the people hear all of this. So we come to chapter 19 and verse 1, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Now he's asking Isaiah on his behalf to pray. Pray for what? Deliverance. Prayer for deliverance from his choices that he made that now affects the entire nation and has now caused this king to trash Almighty God in his hearing, and all the people heard it. Now, I would call this failure. Do we fail? Yes, we do. But Hezekiah is going to learn from this, and he is going to have renewed faith and courage because of the words that Isaiah shares from God for his hearing. Notice this, please. And Isaiah said unto them, verse 6 of chapter 19, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. All these things that Isaiah said are coming to pass. And Rabshakeh leaves and returns back to his land. And when he had heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Now notice this, how this is all working out. All of the things that Isaiah said is coming true. They're now warring. Rabshakeh has to leave, but he sends a messenger back. He said, don't you think for just a moment that your God's going to deliver us from us. This is just a skirmish for us. Yeah, we have to leave temporarily, but this is just a skirmish for us. Don't you think that you're going to get away from us. Verse 11, behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed? As Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Thilasar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Shepharvaim of Hena? And he lists all the different city-states that they've destroyed. Where are their gods? Well, their gods have been burned up and destroyed because their gods were stone and wood. But they're up against Almighty God. Now notice verse 14. This is Hezekiah now praying on his own. And he says, he received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. He took this letter and he laid it out before the Lord. And he goes to the Lord in prayer, saying, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God. All right? The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, even thou only. And then, of course, we find that the Lord answers his prayer in the following verses. I don't want to get into all that. I just want to share some thoughts here about prayer in the new year. There are times when we as believers in Christ reach these points in our lives where we hit a wall and we're faced with our failure. We may have failed in some area of our life, but I want you to know something, that God delivers even when we fail. Even when we fail, God delivers. And we can have renewed courage and faith as Hezekiah. This time he doesn't run to Isaiah to pray to God. He spreads it out before the Lord himself and says, "Oh Lord, here it is. You are the only God. You're the only one that can deliver us and strengthen us and encourage us. There is a greater with us than with him." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, I think, that we have one that's greater with us than what they have. And sometimes it's easy to let that truth, that understanding of our God, get washed away with all the struggle and the giants that we may face as believers in Christ. Would you not consider cancer to be a giant? Would you not consider a huge financial setback to be something that seems overwhelming and it might destroy us? This ministry knows something of that in the past. And I want you to know that God showed himself strong. And God continues to show himself strong in the behalf of his people. And in spite of that, Hezekiah, in the next chapter, what do we find him doing? He gets word that he is going to die. And God says, "Set your house in order." And Hezekiah cries out to God and prays and says, "God, give me more time." And God said, "I'll give you 15 more years." I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to know that. 15 years, the clock is set, and the countdown begins. There's some benefit to not knowing when that day comes. How many of you agree with me? There's some benefit to that. We've lost a lot of people that we've known this past year. A lot of folks that I've known locally, a lot of folks that known from college days, people that have gone on to glory, some of them from cancer, some of them from other things that have happened, heart attacks and things of that nature, some of them through accidents that they had that took their life. And we look at those things and we say, well, they didn't know that that was going to happen to them. But here Hezekiah, when he cries out, God says, "I'll give you 15 more years." And during that time, he has a son who is Manasseh. And buddy, does he become a problem for the children of Israel. If Hezekiah had gone on, that son would have never been born. So there are things that we can ask for, and sometimes God grants, but sometimes there are things we really should have just been happy with the first notice. And so I want to give a few lessons here that I've applied in six areas of prayer for 2025. And these just come from my heart, from having read this passage of Scripture, things that we should always keep in mind. And I'm just going to quickly go through these and then we're going to close in prayer. I want you to think about these things in six areas of prayer for this year. Number one, Thank God for sending Jesus Christ and profess your love for Him every day. You know, that's what Hezekiah finally came to, that he was God alone. Twice he mentions that in chapter 19. He is God alone. We need to have a thankful heart for Jesus Christ. We need to have a thankful heart to the Father who sent His Son, who loved us and gave His Son for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We need to have thankful hearts in that regard. And we need to profess our love to our Heavenly Father. Don't you tell your kids you love them? Don't you tell your grandkids you love them? Don't you tell your spouse you love them? Do we tell God that we love Him? That should be a regular pattern with us. Not just words, but coming from our heart of gratitude, of love for Him. Hezekiah comes to this place of understanding where he doesn't have to go through a surrogate to pray. He's able to go directly to God to pray and ask Him to bring glory to His name. Tell Him of your complete dependence upon Him for everything in this life and the next. That's what Hezekiah came to. He professed the fact that there is no deliverance other than God Almighty for us. There's no other nation. There's no other nation he can give tribute to that's going to come in and help. By the way, Sennacherib reminded me, Pharaoh's going to be no help for you from Egypt. Don't expect help from them. I've taken care of them. And so, who's left? There's only one. That's God Almighty. Secondly here, ask for God's continued blessing and care over the new year and the new leadership of our country. Who was the leader of Judah at that time? Hezekiah. He's the leader of the people. He needs God's help. Amen? He needs God's help. He professes that dependence upon God. I need your help, O Father. And so we need to be praying for those that are in leadership over us, praying for the new administration. You know, it seems like you just wait for the next shoe to drop. What's going to happen next in the days and weeks ahead? Well, we're just trusting the Lord. But we need to be praying as God's people. Be praying for our new president. Be praying for our new vice president. Be praying for our new Congress that just came in this week. Be praying for Mike Johnson and for Leader Thune in the Senate. These people ought to be our names that are on our prayer lists. The leadership of the United States of America needs God's direction and help. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. Thirdly here, pray for a fresh start spiritually, courage to leave behind the failures of the past and call upon the Lord for a renewed enjoyment of Him. Fresh start. There's something to be said about a new year. I was talking to Brother Dave Young, who came last January. He's left evangelism. He's now pastoring a church in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. He just started. This was his first Sunday there. And he had texted me earlier this week. He said, I want to buy a car for my son, and I need a little help. Can you help me find a used vehicle? So I put out the word to some of the folks, say, hey, if you know of anybody that's selling a car, and we were able to give him a few ideas on that. And he said, hey, I've taken a new ministry. I'm no longer in evangelism. I no longer live in Milton. I'm in Poplar Bluff. Well, I didn't know that. He's beginning a brand new ministry, and I told him I'll be praying for you. Pastoring and evangelism are two different things. All right? You come into a church, you stay a short while, and then you're gone. You're going to be there every Sunday, all right? It's a whole different thing. I told him, I said, I'm praying for you, brother. It's going to be a huge transition at 55 years of age. So, I'm praying for him. Fresh start spiritually. Courage to leave behind the failures of the past. What did Hezekiah do? He had to step away from his mistake of sending tribute, his father's mistake before him, and then his own mistake. Sending what belonged to God to a foreign leader to try to appease him, and it didn't work, did it? So that's a failure, but what do? You have to leave behind the failure and return back to God, and that's exactly what Hezekiah did. I want us to look at the next one here. We got three more, and then we're done. We need to pray for our children and for our young people. This is something that's been impressed upon me in such a fashion. You know, there were a lot of boys and girls dependent upon Hezekiah at that time. Because it wasn't just the people that he was, the moms and the dads, that he was ruling over, he was also ruling over all the children that were there that could be destroyed. My heart broke as I read of the number of children that died in those plane crashes, the number of children that were hurt and harmed by horrible things this past year, 2024, the number of kids that died of suicides, the number of kids that died in gun-related violence and all kinds of other things, drug addictions, children paying the price. Hezekiah had the weight of government upon his shoulders. We need to be praying for our children. Isn't it interesting what Job did? He went and sacrificed before the Lord for his children. The Bible says, because lest one of them in their hearts had turned against God. That was Job praying for his children. That needs to be renewed in our hearts and minds this year. To pray for our children, to pray for our grandchildren. Satan would love to have every one of them. And we need to be praying for them. Our young people in school and in college, that God would work powerfully in their hearts to lead them in His way. We're praying for Asa. I'm praying for Jonathan Poston as well. Jonathan came to me, was a week ago, and he said, Pastor Brainerd, I wish you'd pray for me. I think God wants me to go to Ambassador Baptist College. God may be calling me into evangelism. He doesn't know right now, but we're praying with him that God would direct. Don't you think that's going to draw the attention of Satan to discourage and to keep him from going? Thank God every day for His grace and goodness and His never-failing love. That's the sustaining help of the believer every single day. I got out my bicycle, hadn't ridden it in a while. My wife said, let's go down the railroad trail toward Whiting Field. I got my bike out, my tires were flat. Not only that, but my chain was squeaky, so I had a little bit of WD-40 on the chain there because it was a little bit on the rusty side. Because when I started out, can you imagine doing 14 miles of that? It would have driven not only myself crazy, but my wife would have been saying, walk, please, push it back. But guess what happens? Guess what happens? We need to thank God every day for His grace and His goodness and His never-ending love, His unconditional love for us that never changes. Keep the men and women who serve in our armed forces before the throne of grace. Pray for their safekeeping and their eternal salvation in Christ. I pray for the other military. Every time a helicopter goes by, I'm reminded that there are two men up there in that helicopter flying by. They represent our country. One of them is being trained to go out on their own by themselves to fly, a solo flight. Do they need our prayers? Absolutely. They need to have our prayers. But Christians that are in the military, oh, it's so hard for them. We need to pray for them. We need to uphold them. You know what Hezekiah had? He had all of his armed forces. They're not strong enough to go up against Egypt. Don't you think he was praying for them too? For those that were under his command? We need to pray for their safekeeping and their eternal salvation in Christ. And then finally, we need to uphold our missionaries in prayer. We need to pray for them every day. They've got pressures on them that you and I don't know. They're dependent on 10 to 15 churches sending in their check every month. You know how many times that doesn't happen? Do we need to pray for our missionaries? Yes. We need to take them before the throne of grace. Lord, meet their needs. Lord, provide. Help them. They may be discouraged today. Lord, would you lift them up? That requires for us to be sensitive, thinking people outside of ourselves and considering others that need our prayers. Pray without what? Ceasing. The spirit of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray for them around the globe. Learn their names. And let me encourage you this year, would you learn their children's names too? You say, I can't even remember my own name. How am I supposed to do that? Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this or not, but Buddy Fitzgerald pulled me aside, and he said, I am so thankful for this church. Most everybody knew my kids' names. And I said, well, we provide the booklets, we talk about them, we read your newsletters. He was encouraged by that. that we remembered their names, because the last time we saw them, they were this tall. But some of you have memorized their names, and you carry them before the throne of grace. That needs to be a regular pattern. And so I want to encourage you in this regard. Now you say, well, I don't see that in the text here. I understand that. I added that in. Is that okay? I added that one in. Pray for our missionaries by name. Mrs. Pepperd, I remember when I was in her sixth grade class, and I'll close with this. She told us about how David, her brother, used to pray. They'd have prayer time before bedtime. And David would pray this, Lord, be with all the missionaries in the cornfields. You remember that? Yeah. All the missionaries in the cornfields. And Aunt Carolyn would pat him on the shoulder and said, it's not the cornfields, it's the foreign fields. But that was his blanket prayer, bless his heart. Right? We say that when bless his heart, we know what we're saying. Now, you never made that mistake, right? You never prayed for missionaries in the cornfields. Right? But they were just learning. They were little. They were coming from being in a foster care and then having to come to a new place where they prayed. But you know what? David had a tender heart. He didn't know how to pray, but he learned. And he's a believer in Christ today. You know, we need to connect with our missionaries, and we need to connect with them by name. I've had several that have called me since the Hearts and Hands ladies have been sending out cards. I've had several call me and thank you for having them do that. That's an encouragement to us. They were blessed by that. And so, like Hezekiah, we may have failed in the past in our prayer life, in some situation in our life, and we feel like perhaps we're not worthy to go by God. I'm going to tell you something. None of us are worthy. The only worthiness that we have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's our privilege to pray to Him. He wants us to pray. And so I want to encourage you in this new year, let's be the Hezekiahs. Let's not pray through surrogates. Let's go before the throne of grace ourselves. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. What an encouragement it is. Even though Hezekiah failed, he could still go to thee and be heard. And boy, how you answered his prayer request. You took care of the enemy in a very powerful way. And I pray that you might help us to understand and know that you're still in the protecting business. You're still in the watch care business over your children. Nothing has changed. You never will forsake us, ever. Help us, Father, to constantly go before your throne with hearts that are completely desirous of you receiving the praise and the glory in all things. May we profess our love for you. May we understand that we are nothing apart from your grace and your goodness. And I ask you, Father, that you would encourage us in 2025, and may we see your hand at work in a very powerful way in this ministry, in the hearts and lives of everyone here, in the hearts and lives of our teachers that are part of Santa Rosa Christian School and the Learning Center. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might grow in our dependence upon Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.